Hebrews 11 and verse 11. Hebrews 11:11, and it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again this day for your mercies and your goodness. And Lord, we ask your blessings upon us as we gather. May thy spirit accompany thy word as it goes forth. And Lord, again, we pray for those who are mothers, and we know that it's the hardest job in the whole world. As a mother, as a parent, and I pray that you be with them and bless them. But we're also here, Lord, first and foremost, to honor you, for it is the Lord's day. And so, God, may you meet with us this morning. And we ask it in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Please be seated. And so, again, this morning, we celebrate the tradition of Mother's Day, as we seek to honor mothers today. And on the side also, as we said, that it is the Lord's Day. And so we gather to honor the Lord first and foremost. And the only reason I speak on the topic of Mother's Day is because we are commanded in Exodus 20 and verse 5, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And therefore, there is a need to honor and recognize mothers, and we shall do that this morning. This morning, I entitled my sermon, God Had the Last Laugh. I don't want this title to sound irreverent towards God, but I entitled it on purpose like that to make a point, and we'll see that in a moment. The story of Sarah is very interesting. I wish I had a lot of time to share about this great woman of faith, Sarah. So it's hard in just a short 40-45 minutes to do this. But as we all know, she is known for her laughing. When her husband Abraham was told that she was going to have a child, she was 90 years old. And so I say this very carefully, humanly speaking, and kind of hard to blame her for laughing, as she was well past the age of childbearing. Plus, she had already been barren her whole adult life. She didn't have any children. But again, regardless of what we think of her unbelieving, laughing attitude, she is enshrined in the Bible's Hall of Faith of Hebrews 11. As a matter of fact, she's only one of two women mentioned in Hebrews 11. The other one is Rahab, the harlot. I know it mentions regarding Moses' parents, but it doesn't give their names. It says in verse 23, it was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. Therefore, Sarah is really the only one that's mentioned that is a mother and one who will give birth even while she was past the age of childbearing. And if we consider our study this morning on the essence of Mother's Day, I don't want us for a moment to consider the aspect of Mother's Day as just a means of commercialism. No, we want to consider it from the perspective, nor do we want to consider it from the perspective of the feminine movement of our day, which is unbiblical and rejects God's true role for women. And I'm sorry to say this, but it is true that in our country, the sacredness of motherhood has been lost in society. And I believe that Christianity has caved in to the assault of true Christian values regarding motherhood, even from the feminist movement. And just because a culture or society has its own agenda or definition concerning the duty of a mother, the duty of the wife, it doesn't take away what the Bible has to say regarding the matter of a wife and a mother. And again, I know that some of you have to work as mothers, and I understand that. But it doesn't, again, take away those things that are set forth in the Scripture, as the Bible teaches regarding the role of wife and mother. God's unchanging standard is clearly spelled out for us in the Scriptures, not only for mothers, but also for fathers, for all those that name the name of Christ. If you recall, Paul would write to Titus and say, discarding of the aged women, which really, if you think about it, Sarah would be in that group, that it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And no doubt, as we'll see in the story of Sarah, she did reverence her husband, Abraham. She did obey Abraham. She did submit to him. Again, it is the Word of God that says that women should be keepers at home. And just because this 21st century or a culture says otherwise in this Western society, it does not take away from the Word of God. But emphasize again, I know that some of you have to work, so I'm not trying to impose any guilt on you or anything like that, and that's the last thing I want to do. Okay? But I'm just telling you what the Word of God says regarding being a wife and being a mother. And I suggest you go and look at the list of a qualification for a pastor. It is hard. No matter what we are in Christ, it's hard to be a Christian in our walk before God, because our walk is contrary to the world. You know, Peter would also make mention of Sarah in 1 Peter 3, when again he gives instruction and he says, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they obey not the word, that they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. For they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that of the outward adorning, plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold or putting on an apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women, speaking of Sarah, also trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husband. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Powerful words by Peter as he reminds us of the heart, the mindset of godly women, that they should be in subjection to their husband, which again is in total contrast to Western society mindset. But nonetheless, I beg to remind you, it is the Word of God. And no, doesn't mean, wives, you need to call your husbands Lord. That's not what I'm saying either, okay? So, but anyway, it just speaks of, not so much, and I say you shouldn't obey your husband, but obeying God when it's all said and done. Obeying God. So, Sarah is mentioned as a woman who trusted God and how she adorned herself inwardly, okay? Instead of that which was outwardly in her subjection to her husband. In other words, Sarah's actions toward her husband Abraham was therefore in the sight of God a great price. And so again, Sarah trusted God. Even though we know as we look in the life of Sarah, she had her ups and downs. But we shall see in a moment that her faith, her trust in God is mentioned to show us that she was a woman, yea, a mother of faith. Again, our chief text in Hebrews 11:11, through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. And she was, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so Sarah had faith in God. And God put her in Hebrews 11. Again, we know that it was very hard for Sarah because she was barren and couldn't have any children. And then, sadly, Sarah would involve another woman whose name was Hagar. But again, this was Sarah's doing, her idea. And when you read the story, I think she was only trying to fulfill the promise of God regarding an heir for Abraham. But again, I remind you that Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Nonetheless, when it is all said and done, you find Sarah in Hebrews chapter 11. And that is a blessing. So let us back up now for a moment. And we'll come back and wrap up in Hebrews 11:11. Again, Sarah is normally not really known for her great faith. As a matter of fact, the first time she was told she was going to have a child, we all know that her reaction was that she laughed. But as the title to my message is, God was going to have the last laugh in giving her a son. Even at the age of 90, which they named Isaac, which we all know also means what? Laughter. So Sarah might not have believed God at first, but then she came to believe. She grew in the faith, and she trusted and put her faith in her God. And so the story of both Abraham and Sarah is no doubt a remarkable story of two faithful saints of God. Yes, like all of us, they had their struggles. There were times that they doubted God. There were times that they had many questions in their heart. But at the end, faith prevailed. Abraham is called the father of the faithful, but Sarah also shines as a faithful wife and mother. Now, Sarah's original name was Sarai. And we first come to know her in Genesis 11. Please turn to Genesis 11. We've been going through a lot of scriptures. In Genesis 11, we know that Abraham was called, of course, back then Abraham's name was also Abram. And he was called to leave his land of Ur to go to Canaan. Sarai faithfully submits to her husband. And I love this story on their new journey. Genesis 11, verse 29. It says, "And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law for his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They came unto Haran and dwelt there." In the next chapter, Genesis 12, we know that God gives Abraham a powerful and glorious promise that he's going to make him a nation in regarding the aspect of the Jewish nation. And again, Genesis 12 at verse 1, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee of a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Since Abraham was 75, that means Sarah was 10 years younger than him. Sarah was 65. And this was their ages when they leave Ur and they start their journey to Canaan. But interesting, as you read the story of Sarai, at age 65, she was still so pretty enough to grab the attention of a Pharaoh and a king who nearly lost their lives by entertaining the thought that they would take Sarai into their harems. These two rulers had no clue that they were dealing with God's faithful matriarch, Sarah, and also, of course, the faithful patriarch, Abraham. Amazing that at age 65, she would still turn the head of ruler. However, what is more interesting was not her outward beauty, but it was her inward beauty, which again, Peter speaks about. Her inner beauty of faith in God far exceeded her outward appearance. Well, we know there was a famine in the land, and Abraham decided he would go down to Egypt, which was his mistake, but he thought he would go down to Egypt, which almost cost him his life, and also Sarai. Okay? Drop down to verse 11 of chapter 12. It says, "And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold, I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, if it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, This is his wife. They shall kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Well, it sounds like Abram was more concerned about himself than his wife, doesn't it? Like, put his wife in the front, you know? Oh, my. Interesting that Abraham said that she was a fair woman to look upon. Okay? But notice what it says in verse 14. Remember, Abraham said she was a fair woman. But verse 14 says, and it came to pass that when Abraham was come to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. Very fair. We know the story. You want to spend time here. Pharaoh took her. He thought he could put her into his harem. But he never got the opportunity to touch her or do anything because in the providence of God, God intervened in their behalf. Many other things happened, but again, God delivered them powerfully. Then we get to chapter 15 quickly, and there's a lot that time is of essence. In chapter 15, the Lord again makes promise to Abraham, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 15. The covenant with Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. Abram, I am the shield and exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord, God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Very blessed verse 6. And he believed in the Lord and he counted unto him for righteousness. And we know that is quoted in the New Testament. But I can understand against Abram's position. He's old. He's 75. He doesn't have any children of his own. How is God going to fulfill this? My. Well, Sarah being barren, and I know Abraham had told her what God had promised. He's 75, she's 65. How is the seed going to come through them? Again, remember, Sarah is barren. She's well past the age of menopause. But I have to give them credit. They did believe that God was going to give them a seed somehow, some way. And notice in Genesis 16, let's pick up at verse 1. Sarah felt that because she could not bear children, thought she could give her maid, Hagar, who they picked up as a maid when they were done in Egypt. They thought she could give the maid Hagar to Abraham so that Abraham would have a seed. Genesis 16, it says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Sarah hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar. She conceived. And when she saw that he had conceived, her mistress despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid to thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do unto her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her face. And this is very important because, again, God ratifies the promise to Abraham that he'd given him back in chapter 12, of becoming a nation, coming through his loins. But he was childless. And I'm sure Abram and Sarah discussed this many times, especially their age. How is this going to happen? And in chapter 16, instead of trusting God, both Sarah and Abram, they thought they could help God. And instead of being patient, they became impatient. And all of it, I understand, it could have been at their age. Abraham is 75. Sarai is 65. How in the world are they going to have children? And again, what makes it harder, Sarah had been barren her whole life. She couldn't have children. But the one thing they believed, a seed was coming through Abraham. And so Sarah felt that because she couldn't have children, she said, well, then have my maid, so that Abraham would have a seed. Well, at age 80, Abraham became a father for the first time. In verses 15 and 16 of chapter 16, it says, and Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abraham called his son's name, which Hagar bare Ishmael, and Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to him. I was wrong. He was 86, not 80. By the time you get to chapter 17, Abram is 99 years old, and his name is going to be changed to Abraham. Go to chapter 17 now. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, and after thee in their generations, an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. The name Abram means high father. The name Abraham means father of nations, father of a multitude. And then also is included the covenant of circumcision given to Abraham and, of course, the Jewish nation. Interesting that Sarai's name is also changed. Now, we all know the story that Sarah laughed when she heard she was going to conceive. But did you know that Abraham laughed first? I bet you some of you didn't know that, did you? Drop down to verse 15. Genesis 17:15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He laughed before Sarah did. And isn't he called the father of faith? But like all of us, we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fell on his face, he laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born of him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, and Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Sarai's name is now changed to Sarah. Sarai means my princess, and Sarah now name also means mother of nations. And even though Ishmael is born to Abraham through Hagar, God never forgot his promise to raise a seed to Abraham, but through Sarah. Can you imagine what's going on in the mind of Abraham? He is 100 years old now. Sarah is 90. How in the world are they going to have children? So instead of believing God, instead of trusting God, what does he do? He laughs. Nonetheless, God in his faithfulness ratified again the promise to him of the promised nation and of his future son Isaac. And what we have here from Abraham is the laughter of unbelief. But God kept His promise. This is the God of the Bible. For example, in 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we believe Him not, yet He abided faithful, He cannot deny Himself. I love that. Because I know that all of us at some time in our lives, I'm speaking of those who are Christians, we do doubt God. And we have many questions and we wonder. And we struggle in our faith. But it doesn't make a difference. God is upon His throne. And even if we don't believe, guess what? He abides faithful and He will not deny Himself in His promises to us. Up to this point, Sarah and Abraham, as we said, doubted the promises of God. They both had problems believing God. 190 years old. One is 100 and one is 90. They trusted in their own wisdom. They trusted in their own flesh. But God was not through with them yet. And I believe this is perhaps the hardest lesson for any Christian waiting upon God to act in our life. It is the hardest thing because we are an impatient people. And so because they did not believe, they plunged ahead with their own solution. Sarah gives Abraham another woman to have seed. And did you notice there that Abraham even asked God for Ishmael to be the seed, the promised seed? But the Lord rebuked him and said, no. No. He said, God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. So God in faithfulness confirms his covenant with Abraham. But again, Abraham and Sarah doubted God. And I'm sure we would too if we were in the 90s and 100s. But see, what Abraham and Sarah did not realize that nothing is too difficult for our God. Nothing is too hard for the God of heaven and earth. Chapter 18. God appears to Abraham again in the plains of Mamre. And as Abraham sits upon the front of his doorstep, or I should say in front of his tent, he sees three men approaching. And he invites them to have lunch. And he goes and tells Sarah, Sarah, make food for them. Get it ready. We have three men coming. In chapter 18, drop down to verse 6. It says, and Abraham hastened into the tent, into Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal kneaded and make cakes upon the earth. Husbands, if David told your wife at the last minute, oh, by the way, honey, so-and-so's coming over for lunch. What? Can you see your wife getting in the kitchen, the oven, getting everything ready to get food prepared? Abraham did that. I can just see Sarah going, oh. And she didn't have a microwave, a stove, and oh my. Anyway, verse 7. And Abraham ran unto the herd, fetched the calf, a tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it, and he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of thy life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, where did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? And there it is, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. But she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. God knows everything, my dear ones. Be careful. God sees everything. Nonetheless, amazing. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah is 90, but she was barren. She overheard the three men, not knowing one of them was the Lord. Tell her husband, as a theophany, tell her husband that she was going to have a son next year. And she found herself laughing like Abraham. Laughter and unbelief. Laughing and unbelief. She thought she was laughing to herself only. But the Lord knew she had laughed. And the Lord even asked Abraham, why does your wife, Sarah, laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child with M.O.? Before Abraham could even answer the question of the Lord declares, is anything too hard for the Lord? And of course, this is a rhetorical question with the answer a resounding no. You know, in Jeremiah 32:17, the prophet Jeremiah says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I mean, if God has created the earth by His great power, I don't think it'd be a problem for God to fulfill His promise and give Abraham and Sarah a child. He created the universe. He spoke it and it was done. There's nothing too difficult for our God. That's why we must come to Him in faith. Don't you just love what it says there in Hebrews 11 in verse 6. I'll just read this to you real quick because I don't want to misquote it. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must come to God trusting and believing Him. So when Sarah was confounded about her laughing, she denied it because she was afraid. Perhaps you realize that there's nothing funny about unbelief. But Abraham and Sarah laughed when told that in their old age they would have a child. But the laughter of unbelief would be finally turned into the laughter of a blessing because of God's goodness, God's forgiveness, and God's faithfulness. Because Sarah's story is not in here. Sarah will learn that God's blessings are undeserved. She will learn of the mercies of God. The Lord was very gracious and merciful to Sarah. For in Genesis 21, turn there quickly. In Genesis 21, in 1 and 2 it says, and the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken. What a blessing. There's nothing too difficult for our God. Notice how gracious and merciful the Lord was with Sarah. It says, the Lord what visited Sarah. At the set time He had said, or if you wish, as He had spoken. Twice we read this again, so you will not miss it. It is all of God. Notice what it says at the end of verse 1, at the end of verse 2. At the end of verse 1 it says, as He had spoken, at the end of verse 2, which God had spoken to him. God fulfilled. Can you imagine when Sarah finally got pregnant? When she had her first morning sickness? And then she saw herself getting bigger. And then, oh my, when the baby first kicked and the baby moved. Can you imagine? I can just see every part of her, fiber of her life was filled with that joy. But I remind you that prior to this, Sarah had laughed at the promise of God in chapter 18. But Abraham had also laughed. Not only this, but in chapter 13, both of them put the promise of God in jeopardy because they lied that they were related. And that, I mean, that they were married. That they were just related. Why? Why did they put in jeopardy the promise of the Lord? Because Sarah could have become pregnant by Pharaoh. But God had to intervene. And then while in Egypt, they picked up a maid to help them. And then Sarah later on suggests that through the maid, the seed will come. that God will fulfill His promises to them. And He fulfilled His promises to them, not because they deserved it, my dear ones, but because God was gracious unto them. Because God was merciful unto them. And God visited Sarah. Why? Because nothing is too difficult for the Lord. And so now Sarah is with child. And of course, this is true of all God's blessings. We receive them not because we deserve them, but because God is good and merciful to us. And this is especially true of salvation as we are saved, not because we deserve it, and not because of good works, but because of God's good mercy and grace to our souls. But notice, God did have the last laugh. There in Genesis 21, pick up at verse 3. And Abraham called the name of the son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God had made me to laugh, so that all will hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to it? And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his age, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day Isaac was weaned. How glorious is that? Sarah said, God made me to laugh, and many will laugh with me. Again, because Isaac's name is what? Laughter. The laughter of blessing. Or if you wish, there was the laughter of unbelief, but now it's the laughter of faith. Yes, God in mercy had the last laugh, because nothing is too difficult or hard for the Lord. You see, when Sarah had tried to sidestep God's plan with Hagar, with the birth of Ishmael, it only brought forth what? Trouble and pain and disgrace. But when God visited her in a gracious and merciful way, God's blessings came through the birth of Isaac, as Sarah is not filled with joy and laughter. It began with the laughter of unbelief, but blessedly it ended with the laughter of faith. Everyone likes to laugh. I know I do. I enjoy laughing. It makes the heart merry. Allow me to share with you the 10 principles of motherhood every mother should know. The following is copied. Number one, if it's going to be easy, it would never have started with something called labor. Number two, shouting to make your children obey is like using the horn to steer your car, and you can get about the same results. Three, raising a teenager is like nailing jello to a tree. And any child can tell you that the sole purpose of a middle name is so they can tell when they're really in trouble. Number five, there are three ways to get something done. Do it yourself, hire somebody to do it, or forbid your children to do it. Number six, adolescent is the age when children try to bring up their parents. There are only two things a child, number seven, there are only two things a child will willingly communicate. Or there's only two things that children will share willingly. Two things, communicate diseases and their mother's age. Number eight, money isn't everything, but it keeps the kids in touch. Number nine, an alarm clock is a device for awakening people who don't have small children. Number ten, a child outgrows your lap, but will never outgrow your heart. And no doubt that Sarah would become a great mother to Isaac. She loved her son. She adored her son. She would instruct her son. She would teach her child the things of the Lord. She would protect her child. She watched him. She watched over him carefully. And more than likely, Isaac would probably say that Brother Ben, that he had the meanest mother in the world. Which reminds me of something that I shared before, and I want to share it again if you don't mind. This is also a copy. The meanest mother in the world. I had the meanest mother in the world. When other kids ate candy for breakfast, I had to eat cereal, eggs, and toast. When other had coats and candy for lunch, I had to eat a sandwich. As you guess, my supper was different than the other kids also. But at least I wasn't alone in my suffering. My sister and two brothers had the same mean mother as I did. I am as nearly ashamed to admit it, but she actually struck me. She spanked me. Not once, but each time we had a mind of our own and did as we pleased. That poor belt was used more on our seat than it was to hold Daddy's pants up. Can you imagine actually spanking a child because he or she disobeyed? Now you begin to see why, how mean my mother really was. We had to wear clean clothes or take a bath. The other kids always wore clothes for days. We reached the height of insults because she made her clothes herself just to save money. Why, oh why, do we have to have a mother who made us feel different from our friends? The worst is yet to come. We had to be in bed by 9 each night and early the next morning. We couldn't sleep in till noon like our friends. So while they slept, my mother actually had the nerve to break the child labor law. She made us work. We had to wash the dishes. We had to make our bed. We had to learn how to cook and all sorts of cruel things. I believe she laid awake at night thinking, what mean thing can I do to those children? She always insisted upon telling us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, even if it killed us, and it nearly did. My mother was a complete failure as a mother. Out of 4 children, a couple of us attained high education. None of us have ever been arrested, divorced, or beaten his mate. Each of my children, or each of my brothers, served their time in the military in this country. And whom do we have to blame for the terrible way we turned out? You're right, our mean mother. Look at the things we missed. We never got to march in a protest parade, nor to take part in a riot, burn draft cards, and a million and one other things that our friends did. She forced us to grow up under a God-fearing, educated, honest adult. But I thank my God. Sorry. He gave me the meanest mother in the world. I had one of those mothers. And I thank God that I had a mother just like that. Our mothers do teach us many things. This is also tough. My mother taught me about medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to stay that way. My mother taught me humor. If that lawnmower cuts your toes, you're not coming to the store with me. Logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, oh, you're not going to the store with me. Genetics. You're just like your father. And the mother didn't say amen. Let's try one more time. Genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. Do you think you're born in the barn? My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're gonna get it when we get home. My mother taught me about becoming an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. And my mother taught me of the wisdom of age. When you get to my age, you will understand. Motherhood is a vital part of God's design. It is a vital part of God designing creation. So we're told in the scriptures in Genesis 1:27-28. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over flesh and the sea, over the fowl of the air and every living thing that moveth. I can assure you, when Adam and Eve were created, there were no gender issues at all in creation. Because there was a male and there was a female. Not a male and a male and a female and a female. No, no, no. The Bible clearly establishes that there was a male and there was a female. God created the first family as what? As a man and as a woman. That is husband and wife. We all owe our existence to God. And to, of course, we could say the first couple, Adam and Eve. And let us follow the divine ordained pattern for mothers and for fathers. Even Adam understood the calling of his wife's divine role from Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife named Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of all living. I think that society needs to relearn Bible virtues of motherhood if we are ever to find true respect for human life. Without true biblical motherhood, the heart is gone from the home, and society suffers of this void. And it does not take a village to raise children. No, it takes the heart of a true God-fearing mother to raise children. Sadly, the book of Judges ends in a sad note. The last verse says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Well, that sounds like America in our day. If everyone does that which is right in their own eyes, God help us. This era, this 21st century, is in great need of godly mothers. Therefore, how much more should Christian mothers and fathers of this 21st century? We must also take advantage of the religious freedom that we still have in this country, though it's slipping away fast. And therefore, in seeking to raise our children in the ways of the Lord, regardless of the time that we live in, we must raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remind me of the words of Peter. Remember there in Acts chapter 2? When it says, verse 39, as he's preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is given unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, and as many as the Lord shall call. He says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And that should speak to this 21st century. And so may God be pleased to give us that courage, that conviction in raising our children in this untoward generation. Why am I so adamant about making this point to mothers and also fathers? Real simple. If we do not raise our children in the ways of the Lord, somebody else will raise your children in the ways of the world. Your children will either grow up with a biblical view of God and His ways, or your children will grow up in a worldview that is diametrically opposed to God and the Bible. One way or another, your children will be instructed. They will be guided. They will either be led by the Bible or the world. There is no standing still. There is no neutrality, my dear one. You will either have an impact upon them or the world will have an impact upon your children. It is easier when they are still young. You see, children at a young age, their hearts are still soft and impressionable. And if you don't mold their hearts, somebody else will. Oh, my dear one, get their hearts when they're still young. Why? Because their hearts are still pliable. You know, it's like planting a small tree that looks like a twig. And it bends with the wind in every direction, so you put a stake to keep it going up. And this is what we must do. We must mold the heart of our children while they're young. Mold their hearts in the ways of God while they're young, or they will break your heart as they get old. Daniel Webster, we all know his dictionary, he says, quote, from the time that in my mother's feet and in my father's knee, I first learned to lift verses from their sacred writings, they have been my daily standard, my study, and vigilant contemplation. If there be anything in my style or thoughts to be complimented or credited is due to my kind parents for instilling into my mind and my heart a love to the Scriptures. Sarah took an interest in her son. And in the day when Isaac was weaned, if you recall, what did Ishmael do? Ishmael mocked him. He laughed at him, which we know wasn't the first time. And Sarah would have none of it, as she had Hagar and Ishmael sent away quickly. The whole point is, even though Sarah was very old, she conceived, and she conceived what? She conceived a promised son. They named him Isaac. Isaac would father Esau and Jacob. Jacob would father 12 sons that would become the 12 tribes of Israel. And from the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel would come who? The tribe of Judah, which would come David. There will finally come who? The Lord Jesus Christ, who was God's promised son, yea, God's Savior to the world. This is accomplished by a woman named Sarah, who was loyal, obedient to her husband. Sarah's faithfulness to her husband resulted in both of them sharing in the blessings as she became the mother of nations. Even though she struggled in her walk, Yet her faith increased as she trusted her God, and God saw fit to include Sarah as the first woman and only mother mentioned in Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. I believe also that Sarah is also the only woman in the Bible to have her name renamed by God in the Bible. Sarah's obedience to her husband is a model for Christian women and for Christian mothers. It says of her, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of the child when she was past age, because God judged him faithful who had promised. And so, mothers, may God grace you this morning. May God help you to be a faithful mother, and that begins with being one in Christ. If you're outside Christ this morning, we invite you again. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He may save you and make you a godly mother, so you can raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And those of you who are mothers in Christ, again, be faithful. Continue. Persevere. Yes, there'll be times seeing that things fall apart, whatever, but persevere. Don't give up. I remind you again, the hardest job in the world is not being president of the United States. No, the hardest job in the world is being a mother. But the best job in the world is being a faithful mother. We know what God wrote of Sarah. Or what God said of Sarah. What will God say about you when you die? Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so may the Lord bless you this day and help you be the mother you should be. Happy Mother's Day. I'd like to conclude quickly with a poem that I wrote years ago. I'd like to read it again this morning. Title it, Happy Mother's Day. Children are an heritage of the Lord. We thank our God and look to His Word. His wisdom and instruction is truly a must. We need guidance, and so in God we trust. Mothers bring children into the world. They are more precious than any pearl. Children are a gift from our great God. We confess what a miracle He has wrought. We take them home from the hospital. What a joy. We rejoice that they are happy, whether they be girl or boy. They keep us at night and we get little sleep. But what a joy to know they're ours to keep. What a bond is formed between mother and baby, hoping they grow up to be a fine young man or lovely lady. We are excited when they take the first step. We get excited when we see them take the first step. We take the pictures so memories are kept. Mothers are wipers of noses and washers of ears. Mothers pick them up when they fall and wipe their tears. Finders of shoes, toys, clothes, and hats. Mediators, peacemakers, and referees of spats. We train their hearts from the Bible, for that is our goal. We have the promise that they will not depart, we know. They finally graduated, and it all seems so fast. For in the heart, we thought. They finally graduate, and it all seems so fast. For in our hearts we thought it would forever last. We sought to raise them in His holy word. We pray that they will believe and follow the Lord. And that salvation will be wrought in their hearts. And that they would persevere to the end and never depart. God ordained from creation to birth children and mothers. And that men should be leaders and fathers. God's instruction to us is to be fruitful and multiply. And as we see our children born, most of us do cry. No, it does not take a village for our children to be raised. God ordained that mothers should bring up children under His grace. So for all for you have done, we wish you today that God will bless you with a happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Glory to God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again this day for your goodness and mercy. And again, we know the hard work of parenting, especially for mothers, Lord. And I pray for each and every mother this morning. I pray you be with them this day, that you bless them and help them, Lord. And so, God, we look to you. Help us to be what you have called us to be. And, Lord, we thank you for the children that you have given us. and help us to continue to pray even for those that are still yet lost without Christ. Let us hold to your promises, Lord, and look to you. Even if we look at our children that are yet lost, is anything too hard for the Lord? No, it is. So we bring them before you, Lord, to save our children. And so, God, we thank you for mothers today. And again, we wish them a happy Mother's Day. We ask all this in your blessed and holy name. Amen.